Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here. I didn't realize we had three long-winded preachers tonight. I was going to show some slides, but I'm going to just forego that. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Just before I get started, I do want to thank everyone for their hospitality, for the good food we're having every day. Man, I even got seconds a couple of times. I know you can't tell, but I did. I got seconds, and I got dessert two or three times, so I'm well fed. And it's been good fellowship, and it's good to see all of you here. I don't think there's any other church that would put up with its missionaries coming back every year for 42 years, preaching for 7 days, morning and night, stirring them up and sometimes maybe rebuking and getting on their cases. But you people are different. You love the Word of God and you like to hear the Word of God. And we are blessed to be counted part of you. We are blessed to be sent out from among you. And we are just very thankful that God has done such a mighty work among this in this church, and we feel very proud to be a part of this place. I'm going to read in starting from verse 21, Genesis 25:21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ and proclaim the gospel and the truth of the word of God. Bless us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Give me the right words that I might speak according to your will and for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been thinking about this passage for a while. And it's a well-known passage probably by most everybody here. But it's also a very common occurrence. What happened here happens all the time. It's happening day after day. Yeah, it's the story. And it's an old story in the first part of the first book of the Bible. It's a true story. It's not a myth. It's not some fable. It's not some bedtime story. It's true. Amen. It really happened. Amen. And the fact that it's in the Word of God means that God wanted it here. He had it here for a purpose. He wants us to learn something from it. The fact that it's in the Bible does not mean that every element of the story is right or is good or is commendable. It's history. It's something that happened. And the parts that are wrong, we should learn from them and not repeat them. And the parts that are right, we should learn from them and copy them. But it is the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, before I get to the main part of what I want to say, I want to just say by manner of introduction, to everyone here who has children, you better learn the mistakes of Jacob and Rebecca. And don't play favorites with your kids. That was not the smartest thing to do. To have your, dad has his little favorite child and mom has her favorite child. And no wonder they had such a dysfunctional family. You better treat your kids as equally as you possibly can. I know you find sometimes difficulty and maybe one's better looking or one's smarter or one's, has more gift, more talent. But hey, you better be careful.
Yeah. Amen.
Kids have good memories. And they need to be dealt in love. They need to be treated as equally as you possibly can. And at the same time, all of you kids, and I mean even, teenagers, I'm sorry if I call you kids, but that's how it goes. Don't blame your parents all your life for every little problem you have.
Amen.
You probably don't have perfect parents. And I know you wish you did. But one day you'll have kids and you'll find out there is no perfect parent. There really isn't. I know you probably think, man, when I grow up, when I got kids, I am not going to do those things. Well, those of you who said that, how did it go? Yeah, right. I am not going to yell at my kids. Right? I'm not going to tell them no. I'm going to let them do whatever they want to do. Yeah. That sounds real good. So you get smart and realize how much danger is really out there. Anyway. So Jacob and Rebecca, Isaac and Rebecca had two boys. And Esau, it says here, he was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. So Esau would have loved Texas, right? Yeah. Wow, what a place. I love this place. Now be careful, because he's actually not the hero of the story, so... The fact that he was kind of a guy like most of us men here are, like, yeah, hunting and fishing and outdoors, and tools, all that. Okay, that's great, but don't follow his example. Jacob, he was a man who dwelt in tents, so he preferred being inside. He preferred staying inside, I don't know, whether it was, sewing or cooking or whether he was just, reading books or whatever he was doing. He preferred to being inside. He didn't like being outside. So they were quite different, and that's how kids are, right? Amazing how one man and one woman can have kids so different from one another. This is how it is. So first of all, I want you to notice, take note of the privilege that Esau had. It's a privilege that a lot of us don't have. I for sure didn't have that privilege. He was the firstborn. I was the eighth born. I didn't have a chance, right? First born child. Wow. Now, maybe in our culture, no big deal. My brothers have no chance holding that over me. In this country, who cares if you're first born or not? It's not like, dad likes Paul better than he likes me or something. Or Paul's going to get a lot more inheritance than I am. No, in this culture, it's not a big deal. In that culture, it was a big deal. I mean, at the very least, the firstborn got double the inheritance. But hey, what if it was a royal family? If it was a royal family, then everybody else got the royal shaft, right? Just the first one. Then he gets the throne. He gets everything. Everybody else, they gotta just find a way to make it somehow. I hope he dies somehow without an heir. I don't know, but he had some privileges. You may say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Double inheritance for the firstborn son? Hey, in case you haven't realized, life isn't fair. Man, life is full of disappointments and inequalities. Man, all men were not created equal. I'm sorry, but they weren't. My two daughters are not as tall as me. You don't believe me? Well, look at them. They're not near as tall as I am. We're not equal. Man, there's all kinds of disparity in this world. Not just things that maybe you think are important, like income. Or like, how about talents and intelligence and where you're born and the color of your skin and all kinds of things. It's not equal. Look at where we live. Why in the world is the discussion about immigration in our country such a hot topic right now? You know why? Everyone wants to live here. People want to be citizens. People would dream about being citizens of this country. And you're telling me that life is fair, that everything is equal? No, it's not equal. You live in the greatest country on the planet, in my opinion. And even if you don't agree with me, you can't say it's, you know, even close to the worst country. Come on. We have so many freedoms, so many opportunities, so many blessings in this country. And some people forget the privileges that they have just by being born within these borders. And if you're not a citizen of this country, you would probably agree with me that it'd be pretty cool to be a citizen of this country. You know, the number one question people ask us about why we came to Poland. When we come and came to Poland and we live there and where we're from, they say, why did you come to Poland? Everybody here is trying to go over there. They don't get it. And then we tell them we came to preach the gospel and they still don't get it. That still doesn't make any sense. You can preach over there, you know, whatever. They don't understand that. We have some privileges. And if you don't believe that, still, go abroad. Take off. Buy a one-way ticket somewhere. Amen. Buy a one-way ticket out of this country. Choose the country you want. And I can almost guarantee you that in a few months, you'll be saying, wish I was back home. She would like to drive on nice, comfortable roads in a nice, comfortable car with air conditioning. And, hey, come on. We have privileges. And I'm not trying to say that if you live in another country, you're less than anybody else. But it's a privilege, in my opinion, to be able to live in this country. It's a privilege. But that's really not even a big thing. Because as believers, we should be content wherever we are. How about the Word of God in your language?
Yeah.
How about being able to read?
Yeah.
Read the Word of God in your language. Having the ability to read. How about knowing biblical truth? Knowing what the Bible says about marriage, about children, about life, about God, about eternity. You know how many people have no clue about biblical truth? They weren't taught it. And those that have Bibles in their language, they still don't know. You know, believe me, just go out on the streets and just find somebody and just start talking to them and you'll find out how ignorant they are of Bible truth.
Right.
All the Bible truth they know came from some kind of a movie, some video they watched, some article they read in Inquirer magazine, or who knows what else. They don't know what the Bible says. And if you know what the Bible says about basic gospel truths, about God, about eternity, about family, about so many things, you are blessed. You have godly parents? You're raised by good, godly parents? No, they weren't perfect. But if you were raised by good, godly parents, you're blessed. You should count your blessings. You should be very thankful to God. Because there are a lot of people, there are a lot of children out there tonight longing, begging for caring, godly parents who would raise them. We are so blessed. Some of you, like me, even learned the Bible from a child, like Timothy. From a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Do you have that privilege? Did you have parents that sat down with you and read the Bible to you? Even when you didn't understand it all so well, or didn't even have the desire to read it, or you were falling asleep, but somebody read you in your home, the Word of God, your mom, your dad. If you had that, you're blessed. That's a privilege. Not all kids have that. And I would dare say, anybody in this room that didn't have that would say, I wish my parents would have read me the Bible when I was a kid. I bet they do. I don't know anybody that says, oh, I am so glad that I didn't know this until I was 25 or 30. Man, I had 25 or 30 years of ignorance. That was cool. No, when you find out what the Bible says about life, it has so many answers. You say, wow, why did it take me so long to find this? I could have saved myself so much trouble, so much heartache, so much agony. It's a blessing. Some of you, like me, were even saved at a young age. And again, I don't know anybody that says, oh, I'm so glad I didn't get saved when I was a kid. I'm so glad I got saved after I went through, you know, all these problems, and I went to prison, and I went to this, and I went through that. I'm so glad I had those experiences, because now I can just relate. No! No one wants those experiences if they could have the other. And be saved at a young age. It's a blessing.
Amen.
How about being in this church and being taught the Word of God in this church?
Amen.
You stay here long enough and you'll find out. And you talk to visitors who have started coming here, and they'll tell you, wow, this place is pretty cool.
Yeah. Sure.
They don't teach that in my church. They just sing for an hour and a half, and then they give us a little poem, you know, and the stuff they sing, I can't even understand it all. I can't even sing it. Hey, it's a pretty neat place. I like this place. And if you're in this church, you are blessed. You may not realize it. And you may think that, you know, the grass is greener somewhere else. Okay. And we're not going to tie you up and make you stay. But it's a privilege. It really is.
Amen.
Esau had a privilege. He was the firstborn. And we have privilege. We're children of a king.
Amen.
You hear me?
Yeah.
We are children of a king. If you're saved tonight, and if you're not, we'll get to that in a minute. And if you're saved tonight, you're the child of a king. That means that one day, you and I are going to sit on thrones with Jesus. We're going to reign with Him for 1,000 years on this earth.
Right.
And all the things that you think are so wrong, don't worry about it. Jesus will set it all straight.
Yes.
We're children of the King of Kings.
Amen.
So the question is, do you appreciate what you have? Because with that privilege comes certain expectations. The Bible says that unto whom much is given, much shall be required.
Right.
Oh, now you ruined it all. Now you're saying that I have some kind of responsibility, or God expects me to do something. I can't just enjoy my freedom and my luxury and my comfort and just enjoy it. Well, not if you're a Christian, you can't. I think if you're even an unbeliever, you have some obligations to help your neighbor do something, you know. I mean, but still, if you're a Christian,
yeah.
Paul said, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to Jews. Now, what debt did Paul have? I can understand saying, well, I'm a debtor to Jews. I'm a Jew. But he was a Jew. Why would he be in debt to Greeks? Why would he think he has to pay a debt to Greeks? Hey, if you have privileges that God has given you, you have certain obligations. But let's go on, because we have two boys in this story. The second one was Jacob. Now, Jacob didn't have the birthright. He was like me. He didn't have a chance. Right? I mean, the firstborn son doesn't just, you know, on a whim say, you know what, I want you to have everything. I'm just going to just give it up. Humanly speaking, there wasn't a chance for Jacob to get in on this. And yet, Jacob wanted something. Now, we don't have anything recorded about, in this text here, what was in Jacob's heart. But I know one thing. I know that when he had the opportunity to get the birthright, he jumped on it. He wasn't over there just, you know, half asleep, and then all after 3 days, oh, yeah, I could. No, no, no. When he had the chance, man, he was right there. Tells me that Jacob wanted something, and he probably wanted it for a long, long time. He had something in his bones, something in his heart. He wanted something that he didn't have, and that something was the blessing, the birthright that belonged to his brother. Now, we understand that Jacob, as a supplanter, was kind of devious, but it doesn't change the fact that he wanted something else. And since the Bible in Hebrews calls Esau a profane person, the word profane means to treat some sacred things with abuse and irreverence, tells me that what Jacob wanted was something sacred, something spiritual, something real. Not just he wanted, you know, the money. He wanted something that was special. He desired it. And so the question tonight would be, do you desire something else than just the mundane, the things that are expected you to desire, like, you know, grow up, get a job, buy a car, buy a big TV, buy a bigger TV, and buy a bigger TV. Do you have something else? You know, this desire in your heart to live for the one who made you, to please the one who puts up with you every day, to please the one who died for you, to please the one who washed you of all your sins. This desire in your bone has said, you know what? I'm not happy just living like this whole, like the world lives, just existing, eating and sleeping and working and playing and enjoying. I want something more, something spiritual, because I'm going to live forever. And I'm going to give account to God one day for how I used the privileges that He gave me. Amen. I'm going to have to give account, because unto whom much is given, much is required. Yes. And when you realize who God is, you don't say, oh, who is he to expect something out of me? Hey, you realize who God is and how big God is and how amazing He is? Why wouldn't you say, God, I just want to do something for you. I don't care if it makes me famous or if anybody ever knows about it. I don't even care if, you know, it makes me rich or whatever. I just want to do something for you. Because if you loved them, you would. Yeah. And here's the thing. Jacob had that desire, and he really had no chance to get it. And so, Maybe you're here tonight and you think, yeah, well, I'd like to do something for God, but look at me. I was born in a poor family and I got saved in prison and nobody else in my family is saved. I have crummy parents and I didn't know the Bible as a kid. Then I don't have a chance to do anything for God. No, that's not true. Jacob didn't have a chance for this birthright, and he got the birthright. You know what? God isn't interested in where you came from as much as what you want now.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, look in the Bible. Look at the people God has used in the Bible and throughout history. Of course, God can use anybody. He can use gifted people. But He's not limited to gifted people. I think about Brother David Spurgeon. You know, guy gets saved in jail. A hardcore bike rider, gang member, just loved to fight. And then God saves him. And he's not satisfied just being saved. He says, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve God. I want to do something for Him. I want my life to be something for God. And he gave his life to God to preach the gospel. Wow. And maybe some people told him, you can't preach. You're not the son of a prophet. You're not the son of a preacher. What do you know? Does it matter in God's eyes? What matters in God's eyes is if you have a desire
Amen.
To serve Him.
Yes.
But you know what? The next part of this story is Esau's exaggeration, which is pretty amazing to me. It's crazy. But I guess most of us exaggerate millions of times, right? We're always exaggerating, especially preachers. But look at what Esau does. It says in verse 29, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. So Esau comes in from the field. He's been hunting, or he's been in the field working, planting. I don't know what he was doing, but he was out there working like a real man should be. And he comes in, like you and I come in from mowing the grass, and we're just like, it's so hot, and we're just drained, and we're so tired, and we're so weak. Let me give us a little bit of advice. When you feel like that, don't make any rash decisions. That's the wrong time to make a decision. If your wife says, hey honey, can I have $100 to go shopping? Sure, just leave me alone. No, think twice, you know? Don't make a decision when you're discouraged, or when you're sad, or when you're angry, or when, you know, everything is going wrong. Don't make a rash decision. Wait. Get rested up. Get encouraged. Get happy. Get joyful. And then you'll realize you really weren't that tired after all.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever thought how amazing it is what one cup of water will do? I bet just a glass of cold water or unsweetened Texas tea, unsweetened folks, would have done a miracle for Esau, you know? Just have some good old iced tea. But don't make a decision when you're all discouraged or sad or lonely or pick your emotion. Just choose your emotion. Don't make a decision then. Wait. Don't send that email when you're angry. Put it in the outbox. Sleep on it. Read it again tomorrow. And you'll say, someone's been messing with my email. I did not write this yesterday. Who did that? Don't do it. Wait. He comes in and he says, feed me. He's a hunter. Go get your own food, for crying out loud. Go shoot something. Go trap something. Go catch a fish. Go pick up a potato out of the ground. I mean, come on. You're a man, right? Feed me. I need something to eat. So some men really, I guess they are, but they act at least helpless. Now, I'm all for, you know, your wife taking care of you, feeding you, and all that stuff. But, I mean, you don't have to be completely helpless. Oh, honey, where's the water? I need a drink. Where do I find the water? Come on. Feed me, he says. Oh. And he says, Jacob says, wow, this guy is in dire straits. He is desperate. I see an opportunity. He's weak. He's not thinking clearly. He thinks he's dying. I'm at the point to die. Isn't that how kids are? Mom, I'm starving to death. They just ate an hour ago. Mom, I'm starving to death. I gotta have something to eat quick. Go clean your room. And then come back and we'll see how dying you were. I bet you will still be alive in 30 minutes when you clean your room. No, I'm dying. Some of us are that way with God sometimes. We act like the world is coming to an end. Some of you young men, I gotta have that girl. If I don't get that girl, life is just not gonna work out for me. Or worse, girls. Oh, I gotta have this boy. I can't live without him. The fact is, probably is he can't live without you. And if you marry him, you'll be waking him up every single day saying, get up, it's time to go to work. Because he can't live without you. Don't marry a guy that can't live without you. Marry a guy that you need. Marry a guy who'll stand up and say, yes, yeah, I have responsibility to this house. I will take care of this home. I will take care of my wife and my children. But don't marry the guy that says, honey, please call me in the morning. I might be late for work, so wake me up, you know. Don't marry the dude. He's just lazy. I am at the point to die. And when the world gives you all these temptations, whether it's drugs or alcohol or illicit sex, any kind of sex before and outside of marriage is illicit sex. I don't care what you think. It's wrong. It's fornication. And God calls it sin. And the world says, oh, you need this, man. You ain't living until you do this. You haven't lived until you tried this drug or drank this stupid drink. All these dumb names they have for them, like discovery. Oh, we got a new drink. We mix this and this and this. It's a bunch of baloney. Right. Stay away from the junk.
That's right,
amen. That will kill you.
Yes.
The world tells you, oh, you haven't lived till you have it. No. You have that and you're going to die. So Esau says, I gotta have that. I gotta have that bowl of pottage. Come on, man. I could see if it was ice cream or something, but a bowl of pottage? Bowl of pottage, yeah. Oh, wow, this is worth selling my whole soul for. A bowl of pottage. What profit shall this birthright do to me? A slight exaggeration, I would say. I'm going to die. So then, in this emotional state where he's obviously not thinking straight. Jacob says, all right, I'll give you my... Esau says, I'll give you my birthright. But Jacob says, I'll give you this pottage, but you're giving your birthright. Yeah? I'll give you this bowl of pottage, since you're so hungry. I want to keep you alive. But first, give me your birthright. And so, for a bowl of pottage, not a lifetime's supply, a bowl of pottage. I can understand maybe if, you know, H-E-B gives you a coupon, you know, the rest of your life, you got it. Just come up here with a basket and just fill it up. That might be a temptation. But for a bowl of soup, you're going to give away your birthright? You're going to sell out on God's blessings for a small moment of pleasure? You're going to sell out on the peace of God for a moment of sin and rebellion? You're going to throw away the privilege of being a child of the King? For what? For a little bit of so-called freedom from authority, freedom from God, freedom from church stuff. And you're going to go out there and you're going to just, you're going to think that this is the life. It happens all the time. Unfortunately, it even happens among us. And that's painful. It hurts. It hurts the whole body. It hurts every single member. To see anybody in such a privileged state say, you know what? This ain't worth having. The joy, the peace, the blessings of God, the salvation of my soul and my family and all the goodness of God is not that big of a deal. I'd rather have a life of pleasure and freedom to do just what I want to do. And God says, thus Esau despised his birthright. You understand the word despise? Sometimes we think, well, you know, he didn't appreciate it. Hey, it's a lot worse than not appreciating something. Yeah. I don't appreciate my wife as much as I should. But I guarantee you, if I despise my wife, we wouldn't have a marriage. Right. Despising is a pretty strong word. Yeah. That's treating it with disdain. It's like, I don't want you. I have no need of you. This is worthless. It means nothing to me. I don't even want it. I'll give anything. I'll just give it away without even thinking. In fact, I'll be willing just to take a bowl of soup in return for it. Such disdain had Esau was birthright. And I would dare say that many a Christian has gotten nothing better than a bowl of pottage than the things they've sold out. I would say many of them haven't even gotten a bowl of pottage. A life of misery, a life of sorrow, a life of sadness, a life of trouble, a life of tears, a life of all kinds of full of problems, because they despised the privileges that God gave them. Hebrews chapter 12 says in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. Watch out for the bitterness. It will eat you up, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau. He was profane. He treated sacred things with abuse and irreverence. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought carefully with tears. So after he sold the birthright of his own free will, he gave it up. Nobody stole it from him. Nobody coerced him. He gave it up. He was given an offer. He was given an opportunity. And he took it because he wanted a bowl of soup. And then, sometime later, when it was time to get the blessing, he didn't even get the blessing. And you ask yourself, how could God do that? How could God let Jacob do this to him again? I mean, what a turkey, you know? I mean, come on, you took my birthright. Okay, I gave it to you, but you could at least left me the blessing. No, he took that too, and God let him take it. Isn't that what you wanted? God just let you do what you want? I don't want God to get involved. I want to do what I want to do. I'm tired of God telling me what I have to do. I'm going to live on my own. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm tired of my parents telling me what I have to do. I'm tired of all these rules. I'm going to get out fine. Go. And God just might let it go like you wanted. And then you'll say, oh, well, wait. I want that blessing. I want something back. I repent. I want it back. And it might not happen. He didn't get it. Now, it's possible that had he repented right then, when he sold the birthright, things may have changed. It looks to me like Esau didn't even consider. Because in our text back in Genesis, if you notice, it says, he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. That was sure good soup. Man, that was good. He went his way. And we don't find Esau repenting. We don't find him saying, oh, what can I do now? I got to get it back. No, he just goes on and lives his life. And then when it's time for the blessing, he loses that too. So, the questions tonight, I think, are pretty simple. Do you appreciate your privileges? Amen. Do you acknowledge what God has done for you? Amen. Do you have any idea how bad it could be if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God? Right. Some of you probably do. I can tell you personally, it's hard for me to imagine how bad it could be because I was raised in a Christian, godly home by godly parents. But I'm telling you, I appreciate that. Amen. I have always appreciated that. I wasn't just dying to get out of home so I could go out and live like the world and live like the devil. I'm thankful for my godly parents. Amen. I made a lot of mistakes, but I wasn't dying to get out and just live like the devil. Do you appreciate what you've got? And do you desire something else? Something spiritual, something real, something lasting? Do you want to go to face judgment and say, God, thanks for saving me. And thanks for letting me serve you. Do something for you and not for me. Or are you tempted to sell out? Are you tired and thinking like it's just too much work, too much responsibility, too much church, too much spiritual, too much Bible, too many rules, Too many thou shalt not. You think, oh, I just can't take it. Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe I'll just give it all up for a little bit of fun. You're despising your birthright? Are you really despising the goodness of God? Are you tempted to give it all up? I know it happens. I can't say it's happening right now. I know it happens. And if it's happening now, I hope I can catch it before you make that wrong decision. Don't sell out. Don't sell your birthright. It's precious. It will save you from so much sorrow down the road. It will keep your children. It will keep your grandchildren. It will keep your great-grandchildren. If you'll just stay close to God and stay close to His Word, stay humble, walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
And if you're here tonight and you're thinking, what is this guy talking about? I just wanted to come to church and, you know, sing or something. Worship. Some of them just worship and clap and just hallelujah. Well, this is serious stuff. Because one day you're going to die. And worshiping God like this isn't going to save your soul. Worshiping God is great. We should all worship God. And we do. But worshiping God is not what gets you to heaven. You need to be forgiven. You need to have your sins forgiven. Romans chapter 2, and I'm going to close with this verse. Romans chapter 2 says in verse 3, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" So God is saying here that you cannot escape His judgment. No matter how good you are, how religious you are, how rich you are, how ignorant you may think you are, it doesn't matter. You cannot escape God's judgment because every single one of us makes judgments. We get mad when someone defrauds us. We get mad when they lie to us. We get mad when they do us wrong. We get mad when they judge us. We get mad when they do and they cut us off in traffic. We get mad when they're selfish. We don't like what people do to us. Guess what? That just proves that you know what's right and what's wrong. And God will judge you accordingly. And you know what? You do the same things. You're no different. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Then it says in verse 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance."
Amen.
You know what the problem is? Some people think that God is just so nice, He wouldn't dare condemn me to hell. God is just so nice, He only condemns the really, 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 really bad people. God is too good, they say, to send people to hell. God is good. But it says here that His goodness leads to repentance. His goodness does not lead Him to believe that you are good too. His goodness is so good, He says, you know what? I will forgive you if you'll just repent of your sin. If you'll just admit how wicked your heart is. If you'll admit that you have failed in so many ways and come humbly to me and ask me, I'll save you. His goodness leads to repentance. So just repent. Don't despise His goodness. Don't despise His mercy, His grace, His love. He is good. But today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
He sent His Son. He died for you. Jesus Christ took upon Himself all your sin, all your blame, all your guilt, all your filth, everything you've ever done. And He bled on the cross for your sake, not for His own.
Amen.
He was innocent. He was clean. He was completely perfect. He died for your sins. And if you'll just say, oh God, I am so full of sin and so wicked. Now I understand why Jesus died. And you ask God to forgive you. He will forgive you today and cleanse you and forgive you of every single sin. Because He is that good. But don't despise His goodness. And don't despise your birthright.
Thank you, Joe. If you just hang out, get a drink of water, use the restroom quite yet.